Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Elbert Lee Guillory, and I'm the senator for the 24th District right here in beautiful Louisiana. Recently, I made what many are referring to as a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I wanted to take a moment to explain why I chose to become a Republican, and also to explain why I don't think it was a bold decision at all. It is the right decision, not only for me, but for all my brothers and sisters in the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democrat Party has created the illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for black people. Somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called Republicans the party of freedom and progress, and the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, giving former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican President Dwight Eisenhower who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the bill. You see, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity. Programs such as welfare, food stamps, these programs aren't designed to lift black Americans out of poverty. They were always intended as a mechanism for politicians to control the black community. The idea that blacks, or anyone for that matter, need the government to get ahead in life is despicable. And even more important, this idea is a failure. Our communities are just as poor as they have always been. Our schools continue to fail children. Our prisons are filled with young black men who should be at home, being fathers. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers, who control us by making us dependent on them. Sometimes I wonder if the word freedom is tossed around so frequently in our society that it has become a cliche. The idea of freedom is complex and it's all-encompassing. It's the idea that the economy must remain free of government persuasion. It's the idea that the press must operate without government intrusion. And it's the idea that the emails and phone records of Americans should remain free from government search and seizure. It's the idea that parents must be the decision makers in regards to their children's education, not some government bureaucrat. But most importantly, it is the idea that the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence and free from government control. Because to be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny. These are the ideas at the core of the Republican Party, and it is why I am a Republican. So, my brothers and sisters of the American community, please join with me today in abandoning the government plantation and the party of disappointment, so that we may all echo the words of one Republican leader who famously said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Welcome, folks, to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. And here we are, April 19th. Wow. April 19th, 2022. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Yeah. And so we're going to go ahead and get So we're going to go ahead and get the show started. It's been a while, but here I am back again. I want to touch on this before we get going because I just read that the Biden administration is planning to appeal the decision that a federal court judge out of Florida, a Trump administration appointee, put in place to strike down the federal mask mandate, mandating that people who are flying on aircraft and walking through airports and such are commanded to wear face masks. Now, near universal, except for some of the clowns in the mainstream media, near universal excitement came about when this was revealed to those of us who fly. Millions of Americans. Finally, it's over. But no, the Obama administration, that's a gaffe. The Biden administration, hell, I wish we had Obama right now. I'd settle for him over this guy. But nevertheless, what I really wish is for Donald Trump to hurry up and announce that he will be running for the presidency of the United States again. But back to what I was talking about. I mean, cheers went up. The people who were videoed on aircraft were excited. They ripped those masks off and tossed them on the floor. And no more masks, no more mask mandates on flights and Ubers. And even Amtrak, which is a government-owned operation, if you don't know that, are government-subsidized almost 100%. Let's just put it that way. But the mask mandates have ended. And I just wonder why the United States government hasn't figured that out. What's up their sleeve? What do they have planning? Why won't they let this go? The mask mandates have ended and life is returning to normal, unless you don't fly and live in half of the country that has been normal for 2 years. It can be difficult, though, to suddenly see all those triggering human faces after the government coddled you and fed your psychotic delusion and fear for the last 2 years. So I've written down 7 ways to cope. Number 1, close your eyes and imagine everyone is wearing a full hazmat suit. It's a neat little trick that actually works. Number 2, scream at the sky. This is a well-known coping mechanism. It works especially well if you record your scream onto your TikTok or YouTube account. Number 3, play The Sims 4. Anybody play The Sims? I love that game. But play The Sims 4. And manage other people's lives like you're an all-powerful God to your heart's content. Now, you can drown people by surrounding their swimming pools with an impenetrable wall of potted plants because you're in charge. The Sims 4 game is amazing. All right, number 4, upgrade to 3 or 4 masks, or just roll around in a giant hamster ball. Huh? Imagine that. Keep upping the number of masks you wear. But if that's not enough, go the hamster ball route. I've been in one of those things. They're a lot of fun. Number 5, get your pilot's license and start your own airline. Airlines are private companies. They can do what they want. You see what I just did there? I did a Joe Biden. I'm whispering as if it's only you and me, and it's a secret. Number 6. Just remember, we're all in this together. It's just for a little while. It's a small sacrifice to make. If it saves one toddler from a speech impediment, it's all worth it. And number seven, never go outside again. Curl up in a ball and live out the rest of your days in the corner of your home, completely safe from COVID. How do you like that? All right. Let's get on with our topic here. But first, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Southern Sense.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with the coolest co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Good afternoon, Annie. Thank you for that beautiful introduction, as always.
Southern Sense with the radio chick, Annie, as you just heard, Tuesdays and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
Live and direct with Jeezy Rock.
Yo, yo! Ah! Yo, yo, what's going on, my peoples? What's going on, my peeps?
Jeezy loves his peeps. He loves his radio family. And you can join him Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 4.
Stay up late for conservative primetime.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to conservative primetime. I'm your host, GGT.
Speaking of a little less bark and a little more bite, conservative primetime is not a show to relax to. It'll get you going weeknight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time.
And of course, the headmaster himself with the situation report, C. Robert Jones, PhD.
In the interest of full disclosure, I have had just a little bit to drink.
And catch the situation report weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This is a group of patriotic internet radio hosts, and they would very much like you to join them. And brush your teeth. I mean, tell your friends.
Freedom of speech, the ability to express yourself, it's a cherished idea, as well it should be. Most of us who live in liberal Western democracies think of it as a basic human right. People have fought and died for it. But now we may be in danger of losing it. The threat is not coming from without, from external enemies, but from within. A generation is being raised not to believe in freedom of speech, but rather that they should have freedom from speech they dislike. This is a threat to both pluralism and democracy itself. We see this in Europe, where sensitivity-based censorship attempts to ban anything deemed hateful or even just hurtful, and to ban criticism of religion, especially Islam. But the United States, despite its strong constitutional protections in the Bill of Rights, is far from immune from the rising trend of suppression of speech, or what is sometimes called political correctness. This is especially true at America's colleges and universities, the place where our future leaders are educated and where you'd expect speech to be the most free. Highly restrictive speech codes are now the norm on campus, not the exception. According to a study by my organization, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, FIRE, 54% of public universities and 59% of private universities impose politically correct speech codes on their students. And thanks to recent Department of Education guidelines, 100% of colleges may adopt speech codes in the coming years. How bad is it? At a public campus in California, on Constitution Day in 2013, a student who also happens to be a decorated military veteran was told he could not hand out copies of the Constitution to his fellow students. The objection from the university was not ideological. It was out-of-control bureaucracy imposing limits on speech. That same day, another college student in that same state was told he could not protest NSA surveillance outside of a tiny free speech zone, an area that comprised only 1.37% of the campus. Months later, college students in Hawaii were told both they could not hand out the Constitution to their fellow students and that they could not protest NSA policies outside the school's free speech zone. FIRE took these colleges to court, but the fact that we had to shows you how bad it has become. Recently, students and sympathetic faculty have joined forces to exclude campus speakers whose opinions they dislike. At FIRE, we call this disinvitation season, although the season lasts all year round. Since 2009, there has been a major uptick in the push by students and faculty to get speakers they dislike disinvited. These speakers have included former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, the Somali-born feminist and critic of Islam, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, and the director of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde. And that's only the obvious part of the disinvitation problem. Few conservative speakers are invited to speak at colleges lest they have to be disinvited later. The newest threat to speech comes from so-called trigger warnings, alerts that warn students that they are about to read or hear something that triggers a negative emotional response. A 2014 New York Times article cited the example of a Rutgers student requesting trigger warnings for the classic American novel The Great Gatsby because it, quote, possesses a variety of scenes that reference abusive, misogynistic violence, unquote. Recently, Oberlin College attempted to institute a policy that heavily encouraged the faculty to avoid difficult topics and to employ trigger warnings as a means of making classrooms safer. Safety has been watered down to essentially mean the right to always feel comfortable. New demands for trigger warnings are popping up on campuses across the country. Add in popular academic theories that encourage students to scrutinize speech for microaggressions, any statement that might be construed as racially insensitive, classist, sexist, or otherwise un-PC, and it's clear that campuses are teaching students to police what they say. This is precisely the opposite of what is needed. Our society needs candor, and it needs freedom of speech, not freedom from speech. Intellectual comfort is not a right, nor should it ever be. Not if we want freedom of speech, let's just call it freedom, to survive. I'm Greg Lukianoff, president of the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education for Prager University.
To subscribe to our YouTube channel,
but first, let's check in with the leader of the free world who now appears to be taking orders from a giant bunny. Was Kamala Harris in the bunny suit, or perhaps Barack Obama? Why is the US president taking directions from a bunny? But at least the bunny was there. Unlike Joe's imaginary friend whose hand he tried to shake last week after he delivered a speech in North Carolina.
God bless you all.
Sad, isn't it? Perhaps that was the ghost of Corn Pop whose hand he tried to shake. Who is Corn Pop, you ask? Well, let's let Joe Biden explain.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, you show how things have changed. One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off. Well, he came off, and he said, I'll meet you outside. My car, this was mostly, these were all public housing behind it. Car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate. And he said, I'll be waiting for you. He was waiting for three guys in straight razors. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razors, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty.
Believe it or not, that wasn't the craziest story he told that day. During that same speech in 2017, so this cognitive decline we keep talking about didn't start in 2020, during that same 2017 speech, he told us this disturbing story.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
81 million votes, folks. 81 million, more than Obama, more than any other president in history.
Speaking about people who are not quite up to the job, I want to talk about the leader of the free world. There's another very, very, in this case, I think, quite sad and pathetic scene where he was giving a speech about the nation's ongoing supply chain crisis. And we'll just have a look at the end of the speech and what goes on as he looks to shake someone's hand, I think.
God bless you all.
Poor bloke is a bit vague at times. So you think at the least they should have a staffer virtually by his side the whole time to help him out.
I've not seen that piece of vision yet, and that's quite disturbing. I had my late grandmother had dementia. I'm not diagnosing the bloke, but I've seen what.
No, not on a mock him either.
I'm absolutely not. That's disturbing, and you don't put someone who's potentially vulnerable in that position. As you say, you have a minder behind him going, this way, Mr. President, this, you know, step down. He turned around and shaking hands in thin air.
Oh, it's not that funny. It's kind of sad. Many Democrats doubt that Joe Biden will stick around for the remainder of his presidency. And, you know, there's a saying, may you live in interesting times. You know, I feel pretty confident that whoever it was came up with that line could not have imagined a Biden presidency. According to a new poll, some voters don't think Mr. Obama will be around until the end. Now, such a question might have seemed a bit over the top, as Biden only entered office in January of 2021. But after a year of record inflation, gas line price hikes, devastating COVID lockdowns, a surge in illegal immigration, the botched departure from Afghanistan, and growing questions over the 79-year-old president's mental fitness, a surprising number of Americans now think Biden won't last even another 2.5 years in office. It's true. Check the INI tip poll. The poll asked adults, quote, in your opinion, how likely is it that Joe Biden will complete his first term? Wow. I don't even know if that question's ever been asked of any president before. Predictably, most Americans, 71%, said Biden was likely to last through his 4 years. But 21%, or 1 in 5, said it was not likely he would last. That's a sad story. And as you heard in the clips that I presented, people from all over the world, the UK, Australia, even Saudi Arabia, are doubting the leader of the free world's fitness, mental acuity. They're making fun of him and doubting whether or not he can even remember his own name. Now, say what you want about Donald Trump, and many have and will, but I don't recall anyone making fun of Donald Trump's mental acuity and making fun of him in this manner, in the manner that you have heard just a couple of clicks away before. This is bad, folks. 81 million votes? I'm starting to think that's, you know, I'm leaning more and more toward a stolen election because, I don't know. I would really like to go back to those mean tweets right now. Honestly, I hope he sticks around until the next inauguration. I can't wait to see the civil war that the party is about to embark upon when VP Harris faces a challenge from Mrs. Clinton or Secretary Pete. In the meantime, how is this playing overseas? No. As you heard, it's not good. It's not good. It is absolutely astonishing. These blunders have caused nothing but a big old mess.
Our next story is about Joe Biden, the President of the United States, and a self-proclaimed gas machine. In 2018, Biden confessed that he is prone to gaffes. 4 years on, he's only living up to what he said. At a recent event in North Carolina, he appeared to be shaking hands with no one. Quite literally, he turned around after his speech and shook hands with thin air. The gaffe has opened a can of worms. American citizens are saying their president needs help. Here's a report.
Joe Biden is a gaffe machine. We're not saying this. The U.S. president himself admitted this in 2018. Announcing his bid for the 2020 presidential race, he himself acknowledged his gaffe-prone nature, but stressed that he's the most qualified person to run the country. Not sure about whether he's lived up to the promise, but his gaffes have certainly not ended. At a recent gathering in North Carolina, the 79-year-old U.S. president delivered an arousing speech and then turned around to shake hands with thin air. Watch how. The video has since gone viral, and Twitter users are having a field day. Some say he was shaking hands with his voter base. Others say it was John Cena. Others are pointing out how this wasn't the first time, how the U.S. president has on numerous occasions shaken hands with absolutely no one. The handshake gaffe is certainly chucklesome, but it's just one among many, from slips of tongue to falling asleep to abusing on mic. Biden has done it all. At last year's COP26 climate summit, Biden fell asleep for more than 30 seconds. He was then woken by a staff member and then proceeded to applaud as if he listened to the entire speech. This was last year. Biden was caught on a hot mic, cursing a Fox News reporter at a White House event. On another occasion, he called Kamala Harris the president instead of vice president. On yet another occasion, he called her the first lady.
Who's on the stage because of the first lady's husband?
Sometimes he gets confused, trying to find his way off the stage. Embarrassing or not, Biden's gaffes help him stay in the headlines more than his actual policies ever do. Bureau Report, we on. World is one.
All right, that was India, folks. That was India. All across the globe, folks are noticing commenting and reporting that our president, the president of the United States, the greatest country on earth, the most powerful, the richest, number one, perhaps not anymore, the president of the United States, Saudi Arabia, won't even take his calls. Can you imagine any country or head of state in any country not taking Donald Trump's calls? I don't think so. Now, this just in, and now this makes so much sense when that giant bunny, when we beheld a giant Easter bunny stopping Biden from answering a question by waving its huge furry arms, literally dragging the president of the United States off stage. It was something to behold. It was the strangest, the weirdest, the craziest thing that I'd ever witnessed. And it was so alarming because you could see the poor guy shuffling, not striding, you know, not strutting, not even walking like a normal guy, shuffling off the stage with his head down, appearing not to know which way is up. It's tragic in nature. So I say to my Democrat friends who voted for this guy, do you have any remorse? Do you have any buyer's remorse at all? So now, sources now have confirmed that Obama has been running the Biden White House from inside that giant bunny costume the entire time. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. A giant bunny. So that giant bunny that was in the suit, that was Obama. Yeah. A new report from an inside source at the White House has confirmed that Barack Hussein Obama, has been running the Biden administration from inside an Easter bunny costume for the past 2 years. Yeah, you take this as if it came from your own daddy. Oh, yeah. Barry's been climbing into that bunny suit and orchestrating the whole thing all along. And this is from the source on condition of anonymity, of course. And I quote, every policy position, every executive order, all the mandates, the foreign wars, all of that was from the bunny. Mm-hmm. According to the source, the White House gathers in the Situation Room every morning to hear from the Easter Bunny and get their marching orders. Yeah. The bunny was the only one that could keep Biden's attention. I wonder why. Explained one source. Quote, he'd start nodding off at all the officials and executives trying to explain simple concepts to him. But the bunny always got him clapping and cheering. That's a direct quote, end quote. During different holidays now, Obama sometimes switched into different costumes, such as during the Christmas time, when he gives orders to the Biden White House dressed as Black Santa Claus. And on President's Day, when he shows up as Black George Washington. We have a lot of fun here, said the source, close quote. Quote, it's not all serious business, crisis and wars. Well, that's most of it. But we have to let our hair down once in a while, close quote. At publishing time, Obama had distracted Biden by telling him he'd hidden a golden egg somewhere in the White House lawn while Obama started three new wars in the Middle East. Yeah. Wow. How do you like that, folks? It's crazy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, I have a new name for the current occupant of the White House. It's Doomsday Joe. Now, we've all heard Creepy Joe, Old Joe, Sleepy Joe, and Stumbling Joe. But now let's add Doomsday Joe, because he, the Democrat Party, and the puppet masters behind the scenes are producing the script and pulling the strings. And they are offering up a cluster munition weapon of mass destruction that is wrecking havoc across America. You've seen it. You see it every single day at the pump. You see it every single day at your Kroger, at your Publix, at your Harris Teeter, at your Piggly Wiggly. You see it in everything we buy or consume. This guy hasn't even been in office for 2 years, and he has created a colossal mess. Yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever. One wonders, is there an end game here? And if so, what could it be? Border crisis, the wars. Saudi Arabia not even taking his phone calls. He is supposed to be the leader of the free world. And you have Saudi Arabia not taking his calls while he's calling, though. He's calling to beg on his hands and knees for the Saudis to produce more oil, because he's such a pussy and he's being led around by these fringe factions within the administration and members of Congress to limit our oil production, to go green, to put the Green New Deal in place. And we'll talk about that in a later show. Let's talk about it. Doomsday Joe has done nothing that follows even the spirit or the letter of the Constitution. Instead, he has supported every cultural or deep state initiative to avoid its appointed limits, if not just pull it out by the roots. Take this for example. Doomsday Joe's vaccine mandates were, in part, unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court said so. The White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, openly admitted on one of the Sunday talk shows that having OSHA issue the mandate was intended to be a workaround. That's a direct quote. Of both Congress and the Constitution. So much for that oath of office. Yeah. Doomsday Joe has nominated another leftist activist who will, when inevitably confirmed, spend the next 30 years or more attacking the Constitution. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is the product of a sustained campaign to fill law schools across America, not with constitutional scholars who will teach the beauty, value, and singular nature of the Constitution, but with activists who teach how to work around or dismantle the Constitution and conform the laws to their own self-serving purposes. Let me tell you something. Judge Brown, this is a lady who was so soft on pedophiles and perverts that they were not sent to prison where they belong, placed on probation. This is a
a woman that Biden appointed who refused to answer a question that was put to her. What is a woman? What constitutes being a woman? Her response was that she's not a biologist. But she was appointed for two reasons. Because she's black and presumably she's a woman. So why wouldn't she answer the question? That made no sense. Judge Jackson has a good resume with earned accolades. But will the judge support packing the court? She wouldn't respond. Inquiring minds want to know. Packing the court would destroy the opportunity to challenge a law's adherence to the Constitution. It will destroy the average citizen's access to the court to sue for our guaranteed rights. And will deal the Constitution a death blow long sought by the left. Doomsday Joe unleashed the unconstitutional powers of the federal bureaucracy on day one to stifle all political dissent and sorely punish all who question the outcome of the 2020 election as I do. Even Judge Jackson understands the importance of equal rights under the law and due process, for she defended Al-Qaeda terrorists detained at Gitmo. But when Senator Ted Cruz asked about her position on individuals' natural rights, Judge Jackson stated she had no position. Is that not just perfect? Judge Jackson has a completely fluid, situational, ethics-based view of how the Constitution should be applied favorably to leftist favored causes, but denied to those deemed deplorable, such as yours truly. What a mess. What a mess. Oh, national security? Doomsday Joe is here. He did not disappoint, or certainly he did. But he hasn't disappointed the left. On national security, Doomsday Joe is responsible for the chaos at our open southern border, which defies belief. The reporting, commentary, and analysis are legion. Mexican drug cartels are pouring deadly fentanyl across the border, funding by its producer, China. And we have no idea who's coming across the border because illegal immigrants benefit from Doomsday's catch-and-release plan. Hundreds of thousands evade capture every year. Just yesterday, 22 men who are on our terrorist watch list, were apprehended. And, of course, Jen Psaki, when asked by Peter Ducey why our border remains open when we've got terrorists or people who are on a terrorist watch list sneaking into our country, all she could respond, well, that just means the border patrol are doing their jobs. But how many did they miss? Thousands of people from countries all over the world come through Mexico to come across our borders. Aren't you guys scared? Aren't you guys concerned about this? We don't know who's coming in. A lot of them have criminal records, pedophiles, murderers, rapists. We don't know. Sure, many are coming here because they're seeking a better life. And I appreciate that. But I say come here the right way and be vetted. Because I don't know who you are. I just won't let anybody in my house. And we shouldn't just let anybody in our country. Human trafficking cannot be denied. as guardians bring otherwise unaccompanied minors across the border. Dozens of illegal immigrants are packed into shipping containers or SUVs far beyond safe limits or the limits of human endurance. And Biden's team, whoever is running the White House, other, because I don't believe Biden's, you know, I know the man is not bright. You know, I mean, I've been an adult since 1980, when I turned 18, and I follow politics even back then. I know the man is not a sharp guy. But with his cognitive abilities virtually kaput and on display every time he opens his mouth, I can't imagine he's the one who's actually running things. Because not even he's this dumb. Or is he? Or is he? The impacts of having an open border are of a magnitude that will take years to fully recognize and define. It is truly an astonishing and incredible breach of trust with the American people. And I can't wait for November. I want summer to pass by so fast. I want to have a great time. I want to have fun. I want to party like it's 1962. It just happens to coincide with my birthday. Huh. But I can't wait to get to November. There's going to be a red wave. There's going to be a tsunami. We'll be back in business. Trump will be back in office 2 years later. And we're going to get this shit squared away and back on track. Yeah. Can we talk about the economy for a moment? Government spending, precipitated by the COVID pandemic and upon which the bureaucratic nanny state depends, remains out of control. Out of control. Doomsday Joe has never seen a problem for which he believes more government spending won't be the cure. Oh, how he brags about spending money. The debt is unsustainable and Democrats know it. Are they actually trying to destroy this country? Or is that something that we just say? Yeah, they're really trying to screw the country up. No, I think they are. I think all of this is a plot. It has to be. Because how could these people be so stupid? The inflation is at record levels. And that inflation is at record levels is simple economics. But Doomsday Joe can't be burdened with the facts. The D.C. swamp passes more bills to hand out more money. The Treasury's printing press flood the money supply. And voila, the dollar is worth less. And we pay more for daily necessities like gasoline. Supply and demand. Free market. We all know this. You know what happens when you flood the market with money, when you flood the economy with money? It's worth less, not more. This isn't rocket science. It's just plain common sense. And this Doomsday Express has wrought such damage to the international supply chain. And we've all seen and we've all been warned to prepare for food shortages. I won't be surprised if that happens, and sometime soon. There's talk of a recession. There's talk of stagflation. What happened? What has happened? 2 years ago, we were rolling. 2 years ago, the United States of America was on track. Gas prices were low. Our 401ks were flooded with bread to buy anything you wanted. Life was good. And all we had to do was put up with a few mean tweets. Don't you want those mean tweets right now? Make no mistake, folks, that the Doomsday regime's predatory policies against domestic oil production are exacerbating an already inflationary petroleum market. Long ago, prices for everything began to rise because doomsday began to restrict the supply of oil to the market. Now that the war in Ukraine has been allowed to further affect the market, the Doomsday Express has others to blame. And a sycophantic, loyal propaganda ministry that reads its daily script. I'm talking about the mainstream media. Ladies and gentlemen, if things don't change soon, we're doomed. We're done. You know, when citizens become desperate, let's talk about this for a moment. When citizens become desperate, combined with law enforcement restrictions on prosecuting and jailing criminals, crime will increase. It's just the way it is. Bail reform and the defund the police movements have resulted in the utterly predictable calamity being wrought against citizens across the United States. And we just learned yesterday through statistical analysis that this defund the police movement and these woke DAs who won't prosecute crime is affecting, yeah, guess who? Black folks. Black people. And it seems to me that the only people who are not concerned are white people. They're the ones pushing this woke agenda. Studies also show, and surveys suggest, that black people want more police. We need police, and we know that, and we need law and order, and we want law enforcement, black people. It's those lily-white liberals who are feeling that white guilt. They're feeling that they're privileged, and they've got to do something about it. And so they're doing what they always do and what a lot of black people feel they need. They need whitey to take care of them. They need the white man to look after them because that's what they've been conditioned for since the time of slavery, to be looked after by white people. And white people feel like we owe you because our ancestors enslaved your ancestors. So speaking like a white person, I feel bad. I've got to do something. This can't be allowed to stand. And that's how they feel. That's exactly how they feel. And it's crazy. It is crazy. You think about it. You think about how white people react to certain things. This is all on them. Yeah, you've got your Black Lives Matter folks, and even they're attempting to profit. They're attempting to profit off of this whole crisis. So they're not even like saying, wow, you know, we really need to do something for black people, because during those crises, they're just counting their money and buying their mansions. Listen to this.
Just quickly, we mentioned how our kids are being terrorized about climate change. They're being terrorized about LGBTIQ issues. They're being terrorized about the color of their skin, if they're white or they're Christian or whatever they are. They're also being terrorized about meat and what they eat. Have a listen to this girl. It's not her fault. She's been brainwashed. Have a listen.
Now that black people have overcome slavery, they developed a rich barbecue culture to make up for all the meat eating that they lost out on. So when you go to the store and you buy a piece of meat as a white person, you are actively taking away a piece of meat that could be being enjoyed by a survivor of ancestral slavery.
So Rita and James, just think, you're putting that barbecue, your Anzac Barbie on today. Oh, no, hold back. It's racist. You know, here we go. Everything's racist, even the Barbie, Rita.
Obviously. I mean, that's the new 2021 mode we're going with. Everything is racist.
Absolutely.
And what that does is actually cheapen the term
where it means nothing. So when you have real racism, nobody takes any notice. And I think that is a problem too, because there is still real racism in the world. It's certainly not that, though.
But just quickly, we mentioned how our kids are being terrorized.
All right. Yeah. You heard that right. That's an actual young lady who's feeling quite a bit of white guilt, and she wants to try to assuage that guilt by saying, white people, don't pick up that package of ribs. Don't pick up those steak or those burgers or even those brats over there. And because white people need to have their barbecue. No, wait. Black people need to have their barbecue. That's why they're eating barbecue. That's why they're eating this meat and barbecuing and all of this, because they didn't have that when they were slaves. And we need to leave that meat for them so that they can have meat and barbecue. Yeah. All right, folks. Unfortunately, our time is up for today. I want to thank you for listening to my show. There's so many things you could be doing, and you've taken the time to listen, and I certainly do appreciate you for it. We'll be back. Please tune in. And until then, well, let's have a barbecue. The white people are leaving the meat for us. Good night, folks.
Thank you.